You're listening to the Matt and Pat Show.
I'm Pat. He's Matt. And together, we're the Matt and Pat Show.
Welcome to the Matt and Pat Show.
Welcome, everybody.
Let's talk about our friends real quick. Carolza Surfboards down in Huntington Beach.
Ride the waves.
Combat Radio.
Do the combat.
I was waiting because you did a weird thing last week where you're like, combat. Will Sargent from Poltergeist.
Play the guitar.
Cam Service in Culver City.
Fix the car.
And MJ's Ice Cream and Treats.
And eat the ice cream.
How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing very groovy.
We're having a good week so far.
We are, and we have a new addition to the family.
We have a new addition to the family.
Well, not you and I have a new addition. My family.
Your
my
family.
My immediate family.
Yes, that's
although
right.
You're part of the immediate family.
Yeah, well, thank you.
But we have a new woofy. We have a new little woofy.
You
although
do.
He's not so little. He's big. He's like 90-pound woofy.
You have a new dog.
A golden retriever.
New golden retriever.
And we're calling him Bear.
Bear. And he's how old?
Good question. He was a rescue dog.
Rescue dog.
And
very cool.
We actually picked him up. We're going to have him on the show. We picked him up from the...
We're going to have your dog on the show? We're getting used to saying that.
I would like that. He would like that. He'd be very happy.
We say that all the time.
He's
so much
behaved.
Now. We're going to have the dog on the show.
The Southern California Golden Retriever Rescue. That's where we were able to go through and basically... They rescued him.
Right.
And he's rescuing us.
And this is a rescue just dedicated to golden retrievers?
Correct. It's specifically for goldens.
And how did you find out about them?
Through my father, who went perusing on the internet.
Nice. Nice.
So he's the one that was
looking
checking
it
out.
Very cool.
And he found them.
Very cool.
And contacted them, and they were super... They're very professional. They're seemed like a totally up and up good organization. And then we met them in person. I thought, wow, like this really is the real deal.
Right.
So we were actually interviewed to see if we were acceptable.
Yeah, right.
To adopt.
Right. Most adoption places will do that.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense.
Yeah, that's
because,
cool.
You know, here's this poor dog or dogs that were mistreated or
right.
whatever their particular situation. And they want to make sure that they're finding a home that's going to be loving.
Yeah,
you're full of treats.
You're not going to a dog fight or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Then we went through, and there's different dogs you could potentially adopt, and you have to kind of see which one you like and
right.
which one's the right one for you. And through there, then we actually went over to a house here in Southern California where the dog was being kept. And
oh.
cared for.
Oh, so it wasn't in a shelter.
No, they're within different homes.
Was this a family that just couldn't take care of the dog anymore and wanted to get it a better home?
What they know is it was from the like a valley shelter.
Okay.
So the dog was somewhere out in the valley, but they don't know really the story behind why he was put into the shelter to begin with.
I see. Okay.
So, you know, it could have been a forecloser, you know, foreclosed home.
Right.
Or,
forgot the dog or something
or who knows,
stray
right?
or whatever.
They don't know.
Right.
But they made sure, you know, all of his medical were taken care of.
Right. All the shots, issues,
right?
immunization, everything.
Everything. He has a little chip in him.
Oh, that's cool. An RFID chip.
Yes.
Very right. nice. Yep.
And so we went over there and we took our dog Jake, who's a golden as well,
mm-hmm. yep.
to see how they
interact with each other.
And they had just, it was a whole, and there's, and the owner, the lady who was caring for Bear, she had a golden retriever.
Oh.
So there's all three in this, you know,
right.
gang of fur.
Right.
Having a good old afternoon.
That's awesome. Wow.
And they thought, yeah, we're the ones, and Bear liked us. So he took him home.
Wow, that's cool.
And he sat in the front.
That's
I
awesome.
Had to sit in the back.
You sat in the back. Well, everyone, welcome to the show.
Wolfies.
Today we've got Bob Davis on with us. He's a co-owner,
and
co-founder.
And what is his nickname?
There you go.
What's his nickname?
Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear.
I want to ask how he got that nickname. I can think of different ways in which one would... arrive at a nickname of that particular
of Sugar Bear
name
of Sugar Bear. That's cool.
Maybe he ate that cereal. Remember the cereal? Wasn't it?
No, that was Sugar Pops or something. Sugar Snaps or...
Yeah, I never ate that stuff. Poison.
No.
Genetically engineered poison.
You ate grape nuts.
I did. You ate the poison.
You probably Sugar Pops is probably better for you than grape nuts.
I probably should have been eating that stuff. Count Blueberry. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How much dye was in that stuff?
Your liver's purple. It is.
So for everyone who's new listening, go to our website.
MattandPatShow.com.
MattandPatShow.com.
Yes, yeah.
And if you're listening on iTunes or TuneIn or...
Tune out.
all the other places.
Don't listen.
Make sure you go to our website and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter because we got some very cool things coming up.
We do.
And
this weekend, in fact.
We talked about this a little bit last week, but yeah.
So I'm not going to be able to sleep in this weekend, am I?
Well, Sunday's Easter, so we're not doing anything.
I'm going to be...
You're going to be doing your stuff. I'm going to be doing my stuff. But Saturday...
Looking for eggs. Saturday. Hidden in the backyard.
With your new golden retrievers. But Saturday, we're going to be at WonderCon.
That will be wonderful.
In Anaheim, California.
Beautiful Anaheim.
Yep.
Used to be like Orange Groves.
Orange Groves.
And now it's mini malls.
Back in the 60s.
Can you imagine
50s.
That?
50s. 55 is when Disneyland was built. So, yeah. Yeah, before 55 was all Orange Groves. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy time. So we're going to be down at WonderCon in Anaheim. If our listeners are going to be there, anyone listening...
Well, we're wearing our shirts.
We're going to be having our shirts.
And you know what we look like?
Our white Matt Pat t-shirts. You can see what we look like on. We got it on the Facebook cover.
I need to get. You know, I went to get a haircut.
Yeah, tell us a story about your haircut.
So I go in to get a haircut, right?
This was yesterday.
Yesterday, and I walk in, I sit down, and
where did you go? Where did you go, Pat?
Barbershop.
Well, yeah, but what's the name of the barbershop?
Oh, I don't even know.
You don't know the name of the place you went to?
Barbershop down. Casa del Barber.
I'm leading into something else.
Oh, are you?
But go ahead. Share your story.
Isn't that? I have no clue. I just walk in there and have a cut my hair. Right.
It's a building with a. So if we have a building, we just put the spinny thing on the outside. You just walk in.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not even cutting your hair.
That's all right. I'll just sit down and we'll just start chit chatting.
All right. So tell your story.
So I just walk in there and
tell your story.
I notice. I'm like, man, the prices are going up. They want $20 now for.
When was the last time? When was the last time you had a haircut?
Oh, well, the last time was when I shaved my head, but that wasn't the barbershop place. That was just
That was you over here.
Me just trying something goofy.
Yeah, that was you over here.
And then you had to do the cleanup job.
Yeah,
and I looked like a fat Lex Luthor, actually is kind of cool.
You looked awesome.
So maybe I should do that for WonderCon. Walk around. I could dress up as Lex Luthor.
Oh, Lex Luthor with a Matt and Pat t-shirt.
You know, they'll be like, "You're a fat Lex Luthor,"
and you're like,
"Have
no.
a donut."
Yeah.
I'll be a thanks kid.
What was the what was the fat guy's name? There was Miss Tessmacher. That was the woman.
Oh,
the blonde.
You mean the goofy sidekick guy?
Yeah,
that was Ned Beatty.
Yeah, but I can't remember what was character's name.
I don't know.
Doofus. I don't know.
Doofy. Doofy, the sidekick.
We're gonna have to go watch those again. Now.
It's just the observation when I sat down. I'm like, you know, inflation.
Right.
The cost of getting a simple haircut at a place I don't even know the name of.
Right.
Has gone up.
Has gone up.
And I'm like, wow. And yep.
How much was it again?
Like $20.
$20 for a haircut.
That's not unreasonable.
Right.
But it's just interesting because I remember walking in there not too long ago and it was $12.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's up to 20. So she had an appointment after the gentleman who she was working upon, and I thought, I don't have enough time because I have to be in downtown LA for an appointment. So I got up to leave, and she was like, "Oh no, don't go!" And I'm,
"Don't go anywhere."
She thought like, "Oh, I'm going to lose, a longtime customer."
Right.
And I tried to be very apologetic, like, "Oh, it's okay. I'll try to be back when I can." And
right.
I think I'll just go shave my head. Just look like a fat Lex Luthor.
I'll save myself $20, and cut my own hair.
So, or the other thing I was thinking of is going to one of the little beauty schools, right?
I can be like the test subject
and just sit there and say, "Okay, just shave my head
and yeah, do whatever."
So,
do
you know who cut my hair once?
You can come out with purple hair.
He only was DDF.
I cut it once.
Well, you did. You were the savior because you got that little part in the back.
You chunked out a piece of your hair there.
You know. Well, no, it's because I thought you meant my where I cracked my head.
No.
Little pat. I couldn't reach it. This little tuft of hair. It's like a little golf patch.
That was the rough.
You know, I'm like, what the hell's that?
That was back nine.
It was like the Elephant Man or something. Which was a good movie.
Oh, man.
By the way.
So the reason I had mentioned the whole what barbershop is I read a story today, in fact, on Twitter about this restaurant. And
where they cut your hair?
No.
While you eat,
that's what's in the sauce. No, what they do is, they're just a restaurant, and they just like every other restaurant out there in the world, they always overbook reservations because some people drop out, right? Or they don't show up for any reason. You know, you book a reservation, right. And then something happens,
and you're like, oh my gosh,
and you don't show up, or you don't call the restaurant, and say I can't make
it. I'm stuck in traffic.
So all these restaurants always overbook. So this one restaurant decided it was going to stop overbooking. It was only going to book what it could handle. But the caveat is if you book a reservation and you don't show up, then they go on their Twitter page and they call you out by name. They say, thanks so-and-so for not showing up at 7:30 p.m. tonight.
Wow.
And it's getting all this mixed response. Some people are like, wow, that's a really way to be, classy, right? You know, calling people out by name, later, whatever, guys.
That's my, how dare you infringe on my privacy.
Or whatever. And then there's other people who are like, that's the best thing I've ever heard of in my life, right? Is like, you know, these guys are being buttholes, right? So.
Like Butthole Surfers? That's a band.
You know, give it to them, right? And it's a restaurant here in L.A. It's a local L.A. restaurant.
So I just had a brilliant idea because I'm a fat Lex Luthor. We should put our reservation in, not show up, because then we're going to be on their Twitter feed.
Thanks, Matt and Pat.
Right? Yeah. And then there you go. Yeah.
Well, it's really funny is I sent them a tweet today and I said, we're going to talk about your restaurant on our show today.
Did they respond?
No, they haven't
responded
yet. Are
we going to get like free food?
I don't know, maybe. Like but the name burritos? Of the name of the restaurant, I think, is Red Medicine.
That's a cool name.
And their Twitter handle is Red Medicine LA.
What street? Do you know what street?
It's 8400 Wilshire.
Oh.
It's a Beverly Hills restaurant.
I can't afford it.
Yeah,
I can't even afford a $20 haircut.
That's probably why people keep leaving.
I mean, I can't afford it.
So, yeah, so that's what they do. If you make a reservation at Red Medicine.
I can afford maybe a glass of water.
And you don't show. Someone actually said, one of the tweets was, thanks for being so classy. I'm going to make 10 reservations now and not show up.
Wow.
It's mixed. It's mixed back and forth. There's some people that are like, it's the best idea ever. And there's other people
that
are like.
You know what?
You know.
They now have individuals talking about the restaurant.
No kidding.
Like we are doing right now.
We're talking about them, and hopefully they'll talk about Matt and Pat.
And they'll...
Yeah. So, yeah, what's
they
the
re- don't listen.
What's the reservation for? It's Matt and Pat. Okay, cool. We'll be there at 7:30. And then, yeah. And then when they retweet, when they send out the tweet, we'll retweet it.
I like that idea.
I'll do it.
That was my idea. I like that idea.
Yeah. That's cool. Mm. We'll have to do that.
Okay.
So everyone listening, you have to go on Twitter and see if we've done that yet. So let's see. So anyways, Saturday, March 30th, back. We're going to be at WonderCon. So if you're going to be there, check out. Look for us. We're going to be wearing our white shirts.
We are.
On the front, Matt and Pat. We've got some stickers we're handing out.
Yes.
So if you want a free sticker, find us, and we'll give you a couple, two, three, five, a whole handful, whatever.
2,500.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then May 5th, we're going to be doing the Celebrity Soccer Invitational.
Go!
With Combat Radio. And I think, if I remember correctly, that's going to be...
I'm practicing.
That was a good one, Pat.
That was my very subtle...
You just need that horn. You need that horn app now that they had during the, like...
Oh, what was it called? The Vazulu? The Vazulu? Whatever crazy, annoying Vazulu...
Every episode now, we have to have
horn?
A word that you can't pronounce.
I can't pronounce any words, and I can't even afford a
okay, what's the
haircut.
What's the throat things again? Just to put you on the spot.
Oh, I don't know. I just call them throat drops. Cocoa Puffs.
So we're going to be there May 5th. I think that's in Valencia.
Are you doing Easter eggs? Are you going to do like a little Easter egg hunt?
We've always done it, but this is the first year we've actually never like said, oh, we've actually got something planned. This is, usually we already have something planned by now. So I assume we are. If we're not, then I'm just going to sleep. Or, you know, answer emails for the show or different things like that.
Best Easter ever.
And then also, we're working on getting some press badges for May 11th for Long Beach Comic Expo.
That will be very cool.
Now, what's interesting about the Expo, and I was at the Expo last year with the Legion, is that the Long Beach Comic Con is, you know, 2 to 3 day con down in Long Beach. And I was there last year. And I did a photo media thing with them up front with Steven Stanton.
With the 501st.
And 501st stuff. And the Comic Expo is a one-day thing. And it's a very small situation. They don't have it on the con floor. What they do is it's mostly geared just for comic book artists. And so what they do is they set up kind of all these tables all the way down the hallways. And they have the artists, you know, selling or signing or whatever on each table. And it's like a big, long alleyway.
I went there.
It's like a gauntlet.
Several years ago.
Yeah.
When DDF flew out to visit, but he went specifically to go to that.
To the Comic Expo.
Comic Expo.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just for comics.
And that was so cool to mm-hmm. see the artists.
All the artists there and all the writers lined up, and everything.
And you could, I mean, we just walk through.
Yeah.
And
like I said, it's a long gauntlet.
And I would stop.
Yeah.
And just start talking to
yeah.
them about their art
yeah.
and their comic.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And it was so refreshingly laid back mm-hmm. and relaxed.
Yes.
As opposed to the San Diego Comic-Con.
Right. Well, the thing is, well, like I said, this is a comic expo, so it's different. It in itself is different than even the Long Beach Comic-Con, because the con's the big con.
Correct.
For them, right? You know, they've grown in size over the last 4 years, and maybe at some point they're going to be up there competing, you know, with San Diego Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con now is so insanely difficult.
Well, it's become all about the films and the movie.
Yeah, that's
it. And the comics
right.
have really been pushed aside,
yeah,
sad
right.
to say.
Yeah, and that's why it's really cool that Long Beach Comic-Con
is taking that approach of...
Yeah, let's do a one day...
Did you read comics when you were growing up?
Here and there. Not, like, religiously.
See, I subscribe... You know what I...
Not DDF religiously.
Do you know... Well, you're not going to know. I know you don't know, because this is another thing you don't know about me.
Oh boy, here we go.
Do you know what I used to subscribe to?
I used to subscribe.
I'll give you three.
I used to get highlights.
let's see. Hint number one. Okay, here's hint number one. What? Me worry?
I have no idea.
Okay. Hint number two. Spy versus Spy.
Okay.
Okay.
I know Spy versus Spy, but that's
okay.
All right, I know.
All right. So what publication was Spy versus
I don't,
Spy?
No. I don't know.
Okay. I won't even give you a third one. Mad Magazine.
Oh, there you go.
Me, of all people, right. Mad Magazine.
Very cool.
And I remember I asked my mom if I could subscribe.
Okay.
And she looked at one of the, you know, copies I had.
Right.
And she said, no. Right? She just thought, like, what is this nonsense? Oh. Right? And she's like, and then I went to Dad. I said, okay, I'll go this route. I went to yeah. Dad. I'm like, hey, Dad, can I subscribe to Mad Matt? And he's like, well, whatever your mom says.
Yeah, I was right? just going
to
say.
So
yeah.
then I went back and I played the whole, well, Dad said I have to talk to you about it again. And come
right.
on, please. And she, all right. So I had, for a couple years, I had, like, this huge, well, Mad Magazine collection.
Cool.
If I kept them today...
Yeah. This seems to be an ongoing thing with you.
They would be bang.
What was it last episode that you... If I had kept that, then...
If I had all the stuff I ever had as a kid...
I still have, you know...
Oh, my Magic cards. I want to sell those.
Oh, Magic the Gathering cards?
I want to sell... I do. I want to sell those. Because I don't play them. There might be someone out there that really wants to.
I have so many.
Play them.
I've got.
I have the Black Lotus.
I've got like 10. Yeah, I've got like 10,000 Magic the Gathering cards.
I want to sell them. But no. But the Mad Magazines. If I would have kept them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
well, that's why I've still got all my like Nintendo Power magazines.
That's cool.
From like day one.
Wow.
I mean, there's probably like a good.
Have you looked on eBay what those are worth?
No, I haven't.
Curiosity?
I mean, I've got, you know, two stacks, literally 2 feet tall of Nintendo Power magazines. And they stopped.
So after the show, we're just going to sit back and just kind of peruse through
them. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I subscribe to, like, a bunch of Marvel comics.
Well, see, that was the thing. Was like, for me, the things that I was around as a kid was computer-related stuff or video game-related stuff.
Right, okay. That makes sense.
So not necessarily comic books, but in the video game market, you know, like I said, Nintendo Powers, or I was going through all kinds of, you know, the Sega, you know magazines and those kind of things. So when you said Spy vs. Spy, the first thought popped in my head was when I used to play it on, like, the Atari 800, right? You know, the stupid – or Commodore 64 or whatever it was.
I had one shining moment in my video game history – where for a whole afternoon I was rocking Asteroids.
Oh.
Don't ask me how, because I really was horrible at that game. Like all the games. My you know, well, you remember John, my buddy John.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was the king of Atari 800, and I would go over to his house and I was like the jester of Atari. I was just always dying, and it was always like
it was bad news.
It was just bad. But this one afternoon, somehow I just gotten the vibe.
Yeah,
I was in the zone with Asteroids, and then Dad came over to pick me up,
and that screwed it up.
And I was like, I was like, I have to stall him. Right? I'm like, I can't come down right now, Dad. I'm, you know, and he's like, you know, first he was like polite and talking to, you know, John's mom and whatnot. And,
right.
and then at a certain point, he's like, come on downstairs now. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, and you couldn't save the game.
No.
You couldn't even record, like, your high score.
No. And eventually they came to a point where there was some guys that started to come up with, you know, recording high scores for, like, arcade games, you know. And then that was a little bit before my time, but that when I got into the point of Nintendo Power, there would be, hey, take a picture of your high score on the TV and send it in, and they would put your name in a list in the magazines.
Right.
And my name is in one of those lists.
That is cool.
I can't remember what it was for. I'd have to go – I don't even remember what magazine it was.
Dig it out.
I'll have to go dig it up.
Buried treasure.
I'm like 45 out of 50 or something like that. But yeah, event. There's sometimes when some games, even with me on the pinball machine over there, you know.
This is so much a remember back in the day.
Yeah.
It's really what it is.
There's sometimes when I'm playing a pinball machine over there and I just get, you know, I'll play a game and it'll be, that's it, it's dead. And other times I'll be like, I can go for an hour.
And you're in the zone.
I'm in the zone.
In the zone.
In the zone.
Well, let's
Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with.
I'm going to have some Dole Pineapple.
With Bob Davis.
Excellent.
All right, well, we're on the line. We got Bob.
Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear Davis from Carrozza Surfboards. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing great.
Doing great. So what's going on? What's happening in the surfing world, buddy?
What's happening? The water warmed up a little bit, which has been nice for everybody. It's not – doesn't give you quite as much shrinkage as it does normally. So that's been – a welcome treat the last few days.
A little horrible.
There's been some fun waves, so I've actually got to get in the water a little bit the last couple days and do some filming with myself and Chris and a couple of our team guys because we're trying to put together a little surf movie.
Awesome.
Awesome. Kind of showcasing some of our boards, yeah. So been doing that. And
what are some of the different locations that you surf at?
Normally I just go to the pier by my house here in Huntington Beach. But if I have a day, if I have like an actual day off, and it's during the week, I like to go down to this place called Trestles, which is, in San Clemente.
Cool.
And I like to surf down there, only during the week though. I won't go there on the weekends cause it gets just super crowded and I don't really like to deal with 200 people out at each little break, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, you know, it's one of those crazy things, like, people just get super aggressive in the water and, like, are borderline, like, fighting and just being crazy, and I'm just, it's not really what surfing's about, you know?
Yeah, no, it's out there riding the waves.
Yeah, just having fun, so I kind of like to go off and do my own thing and find my own little area, so, which isn't a very, like, weird thing to hear from surfers that they like to find their own little area, but I just refuse to surf in those conditions, you know?
Well, yeah, I would too. I mean, like you said, you're out there, you're having fun. It's not about, you know, you're not doing any competition or anything like that. You're out there testing you're testing your new boards out and, you know, trying to figure out what works and have some fun at the same time.
For sure, yeah. So, Yeah, just got some waves the last few days and worked on our film a little bit. And we actually have a deal going on with a skateboard company right now that they're considering entering the surfboard market.
Uh-huh.
And so we're helping them design some boards, and we might actually start doing like the wholesale end of it for them, like just creating the boards for them and then shipping them out to, they're on the East Coast. They have a couple shops out in New York and Brooklyn and Manhattan. They have some shops out there. So that's been cool. We're working on that. They're a skateboard company called Bustin' Boards, and they've been wanting to get skateboards that match the look and feel of, I mean, they've been wanting to get surfboards that match like the look and feel of their skateboard line. So we're working on that. We're putting a lot of work into getting that done. So that'll be cool if that goes through.
Well, here's a question. How do you conceptualize designing a surfboard?
Can you repeat that?
How do you conceptualize it when you're going to go and design a surfboard? Right. You're going to conceptualize it. What's the process that you go through?
You first have to assess what kind of waves you want to ride the board, what kind of waves you're going to be riding. Like if someone came to me and said, hey, I'm going to only be surfing at Huntington Beach, you know, and I only surf, you know, a couple days a week, and this is specifically how I want the board to work, then we could design him his own surfboard. It's like going to work great for those types of waves, because, you know, there's some waves that are, like, real steep and, like, have a big, like, barrel on them, and they're real round. Those ones that, like, kind of snap you in half, you know? And then there's the other waves that are real gentle and rolly. And so you have to first look at the waves you're going to ride. So normally we'll do that, and then you kind of just think, okay, like, you know, what are the types of boards that work good in those waves? Like, we know, like, you know, A, B, and C work well, but, you know, B, E, and F don't work well. So let's not incorporate the characteristics of those boards. Let's take characteristics from A and C. You know, we'll put the front half of A onto the back half of C, and you can come up with a new board design just like that. There's really a, there's a lot of different ways to go about it.
I was going through your website, and I was reading some of the lingo on your site, and I was totally lost. I had no idea. I was like, wow, there is so much more to creating a surfboard than meets the eye. There really is.
Yeah, you know, like making the board properly, having a shaper that knows what he's doing, that's a huge part of it. But making the board to work, like I was saying, you have to assess those waves that you're going to ride. So I tell people a lot, you know, like this is what will work in those types of waves. Now, if someone doesn't want that, they don't have to get that. But there's a lot that goes to it. And, you know, like let's say you take a surfboard and you change something by, you know, an eighth of an inch or something, that could create a completely different water flow down the bottom of the board.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's a lot of subtleties to it. That's why it can seem so confusing, you know? It's like math. Like, you change one little thing, and it can completely alter the whole spectrum of what you're trying to do. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can change things around. You can change the rails around, the way the rail touches the water. There's concaves underneath on the bottom of the board, and you can adjust the depth of the concaves up and down the board for a different feel, or, you know, to make the board hold better through turns or to make it faster and livelier. You can play around with all that kind of stuff.
Wow, that's insane.
I wanted to ask a question going back to, you're talking about certain locations that you like to surf at and kind of the vibe of what that is like. And my question is, I guess, more kind of a metaphysical or even a spiritual question about surfing itself, because you've obviously surfed like all of your life.
Yeah.
But the people that I've talked to about surfing, it really does take on almost kind of a spiritual element to it. And I just kind of wanted to get your sense of that from your experience.
Are you one with the water?
Pardon me?
Are you one with the water? I think that's what he's asking.
I'd say yes and no. I don't think surfing defines me as much anymore as it used to, but I think that's allowed me to grow and to kind of, you know, you learn a lot from being out in the water. Number one, you learn how small you actually are.
Yeah, yeah.
I've almost drowned several times. I've ruptured eardrums. I've hit reef. I've had some close calls out there.
Holy smokes! So
it's really easy to have a different perspective on things after, you know, after you barely make it back to shore and you're kissing the sand because you're running out of breath there for a little bit and
right.
You know, you lost your equilibrium or something like that. And as far as like the spirituality of it, yeah, I think there's a lot to that. For me, what it's helped me do is it helps me live a clean lifestyle because it is a very, very important part of my life. I'm very passionate about wave riding because there's nothing like it, because really what you're doing is you're connecting with energy that's traveling through the water. And what happens is when you are turning your surfboard on the wave, you're pushing against that energy, and that energy is in turn pushing back. So that's where that free feeling of when you're on the wave, that feeling of freedom is, it's that constant push and release and push and release, because you push and the energy pushes back. So there is a somewhat of a spiritual aspect to it. I don't take it far enough to be on the Zen level, you know. I just appreciate surfing for, it's a very, very beautiful way to spend a couple hours. And if you get to do that every day, you're a very, very lucky person. Since I've started my own surfboard company, I've surfed less than I ever have in my life, because I'm sure you guys know running your own business.
Sure.
If you're really going to treat it like a business, then it has to come before everything else.
Right, right. Exactly. You know? Yep.
So, yeah, surfing takes a back seat to it sometimes, but I definitely I have a great appreciation for the waves, and there's a lot to it. There's a lot you can learn just about life in general from being out there and being patient and realizing that, you know, there's always going to be another wave. There's always going to be another good day.
Mm-hmm.
You missed a good one, or you get into it with somebody out there. You kind of just got to shrug it off and realize, like, hey, you know, we're all just people, and at least I get to be out here riding waves, and I get to go and have fish tacos afterwards. And you know,
I'm down with that for sure.
So yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, now if you could surf one place in the whole world, you got your pick. This is a spot where you can go out and spend a day. Where would it be?
Mm-hmm. I would have to say it would probably be, there's a place called Jeffrey's Bay. It's in South Africa.
And, oh, I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's considered one of the top five right-hand point breaks in the world. And it's just one of those waves that it just links up and it just goes forever.
Wow!
I take it you've been there before.
I haven't been there, but I've seen about 500 surf videos, and every surf video has got footage of that place in it, because it's like Malibu. You've seen guys ride their longboards at Malibu, right?
Yes.
Uh huh. Sure.
Picture that, but five times longer.
Wow.
Well, you see, Bob, now that you're running the business, you're going to have to make the business trip to South Africa.
And test boards.
With Kuroza surfboards, right? With the Stormtrooper, with the Stormtrooper surfboard, right?
That was amazing. You had a Stormtrooper wetsuit.
There you go.
Stormtrooper wetsuit would be awesome.
There you go. Stormtrooper wetsuit on the Star Wars board in South Africa with Kuroza surfboards.
That'd be sick.
That's awesome. That'd be awesome.
I wanted to ask, what gave you the inspiration to actually start your own surfboard company, to make boards?
The inspiration came from, you know, I've been surfing my whole life, and I've done a lot of things that I never really enjoyed that were purely purely, the only reason I kept getting up and going every day was for the paycheck. And, but there's no joy in that, you know?
No, no.
Even, I don't care how much money you make. If you don't love what you do, you're never going to be happy.
Yep, that, I say the same thing. That's right.
Yeah, so when I had spent many, many years riding all kinds of different surfboards, and Chris, who's our shaper, when I met him a couple of years ago, he offered to let me try some of his boards out that he shaped himself, and I didn't think anything about it because I had never even heard of him. He told me he'd been shaping for 10 years. He lived in Maui. He's made all kinds of boards for people over in the Hawaiian Islands, and I was like, okay, like, I'll try your boards out, but I wasn't expecting anything. And all the boards that he gave me all felt really, really good, and which is rare. You know, a lot of guys who make their own boards, they may not really know what they're doing, but Chris is really passionate about his board making, and he puts a lot of love into every board that he makes. So they come out really well. And there came a point where we'd known each other for about a year, and finally I was like, you know what, your boards work as good as any that I've ever ridden by these major, huge companies that have these, you know, million-dollar research budgets. They're shaping thousands of boards every year just to have their team riders test out. I was like, we need to start our own company. Like, you know, the boards are epic. The boards work. It's just a matter of getting them out there and getting the name out and having somebody do that into the work.
Because right,
that's
right.
Not really what Chris does, you know?
Right.
So I just basically told him, like, here's, we need A, B, and C, and you let me take over on the rest. And he did, and, you know, the orders started coming in because I was down at the beach. I just introduced myself to anybody with a surfboard in their hand, and I give them a business card and a flyer.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So I got our little rinky-dink website up and running. Anywhere I could go online for free to talk about surfboards or post our logo or anything. You know?
Right,
well,
right.
We have you on our page.
Yeah, I saw that. Thank you. That's very, very cool.
So, okay, last question. For someone that's going to start surfing for the first time, just some simple advice that you would tell someone. Like, okay, myself. Say I'm going to go surf for the first time ever.
Go down to Croza Surfboards.
Well, that's the easy one. But, but I mean, just in terms
That's a no-brainer.
You know, I can figure that one out.
You know what? I mean, the best advice I can give anybody who's going to start surfing, realize that the first year is going to be really tough. And it's going to get frustrating, and I think that first year it really, really breaks a lot of people. The conditions are constantly changing out there, so it's not like you can have a good day one day and then go, oh, I'm going to go back next Saturday and I'm going to have a good day again. Because next Saturday could be, you know, 4 to 6 feet and completely board snapping, and you could get tossed around like nobody's business. Whereas the week before, it was 2 foot and hot and sunny and glassy, and the waves were easy to ride. So just stick with it, number one. It's going to take eons. I've been surfing for 25 years, and I'm still learning.
Wow.
Because the waves are always changing. It's one of those things that you're never gonna master. The waves are always changing. So, you know, there's always something different coming at you, and that's what keeps it interesting also.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I say is, you know what, stick with it. Go find the worst looking waves you possibly can and go out there to go surf, because that's where there's gonna be no people. And that's where you're gonna have the easiest time getting waves. And just get yourself a really nice wetsuit, and, you know, don't go out and get talked into spending, you know, $700 or $800 on some board that the guy at the local shop is trying to sell you. Get yourself a big sturdy board off of Craigslist or something like that, and go out and paddle and get your paddle muscles in shape. I mean, just getting good solid paddle muscles can take, you know, months on end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Months before you're a good paddler.
Right.
And just spend the time learning the basics, because if you try to just rush right out there on a little 6 foot high performance board, you'll be finished before you start, you know?
That's crazy. That's, yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, that's true, and yeah, and that's there's a lot of stamina, endurance that has to come along with it. It's not just getting out there and, you know, riding a surfboard. It's you really got to build up your strength on it. So, you know, that yeah, alone, a lot of people break because of that.
People, yeah, you're just, you're worked, you know. You come out of the water and you're so thrashed, your muscles are so sore. I just surfed for 4 hours the other day and my arms were just done after surfing for that long. And right, I surf all the time.
No, yeah. I'm already done just hearing you.
That's awesome.
So, but, you know, the other thing I would want to say is definitely if there's anybody out there that's thinking about surfing, give it a try because it's really, really a cool lifestyle. And we need more smiles out in the water. We definitely need more smiles out in the water because it's there's a lot of bad vibes out there a lot of times from people that take it for granted and they don't really appreciate it for what it is. You know, surfing is a very selfish sport because it's all about my waves, as opposed to being out there and showing some aloha and sharing. You know,
right. That's it. So, that's it. Well, Bob, where can people find out more about Croza Surfboards at?
You can check out our website, which is CARROZZA, and then the word surfboard, so CarrozaSurfboards.com. And our website's super generic because we are a pretty young company. So if you have an iPad or an iPhone, please don't go on it because it will look like we are three-year-olds building a website. Because it's all Flash software. But we actually have a guy building us a new site right now from scratch. So that'll be ready within the next week or two.
If people want to start surfing, they should get a hold of Bob Sugar Bear Davis here from Carroza Surfboards. Bob, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, and let people know if they have any questions. They can hit me up on Facebook or go through the website if they have questions about how to get started with surfing, what's a good wetsuit, anything they need to know, they can hit me up.
Very cool.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Thanks, Sugar Bear.
Thanks, guys.
All see
right,
you.
Bye. Take care. We'll be right back. All right, we're back.
We're back. Hello.
That was a cool
hello,
interview from
world listeners.
World listeners
from
worldwide.
All over
we
the
have,
world.
We have some people now listening in Italy, and also
I want to go to Italy one day.
Brazil.
And I've been to Brazil. It was beautiful.
Yes, you have been to Brazil.
I love Brazil.
You good stories.
Eu não falo português. That means I do not speak Portuguese. If my Portuguese is correct.
Well, we'll have to see if someone will
tell
us back about that
to Brazil.
So here's something I want to talk about.
Lay it on us. Tell us.
Good friend, Steven Stanton, from the Clone Wars, who has helped the Legion out, our garrison out, with a lot of stuff over the last two, 3 years, whatever. You know, this guy shows up, doesn't get paid, does it all for charity. Awesome guy. You know, Disney has now canceled his show,
boo,
the Clone Wars.
Boo.
And I found through Facebook there was a website out there. I think it was called SaveTheCloneWars.com or something like this, and that looked really interesting because it's all about the, you know, the fans petitioning Disney to, you know, not cancel the show. We want to keep it going, that sort of thing. But I talked to someone on the inside who knows the business inside, you know, these you know, big studios, and that person said, while having a website like that for petitioning is great, what people should actually do is still go old school and write a letter.
That is the best way to do it.
The reason why you want to write a letter is because the mailroom has to open the letter to make sure what's inside. Then they have to report the findings of those letters.
It's a paper trail.
To the corporate heads.
Are we corporate heads?
I guess so.
Of the Matt and Pat show?
We will be at some point if we have someone below.
I don't want to be a corporate head. I don't like corporate heads. I want to be the mail guy.
There you go. Well, these people have to open up the letters. They're the
I
mail
like
people.
Opening up letters.
So they have to report that. And on top of that, this person also mentioned, you know, if you send an email in, if you send a tweet, that's great.
Delete.
They can be deleted.
Delete.
There's no internal policy.
We will not delete any emails if you send us emails.
No, we don't. I keep them all.
I want to see them.
I want to see them on Facebook
send
and
us,
Twitter, too.
Send us mail.
So anyways.
Send us female.
If they want to get rid of the letters that people send in, they have to be shredded.
Another procedure.
And that shredding by hand has to be done with the approval of the corporate heads. So
it sounds horrendously horrible.
Well, it's horrendously horrible for the studios who are canceling the show.
That is very horrible.
So this person, I said, where can listeners send letters to if they want to save the Clone Wars, you know, TV show? And that person said, send letters to Bob Iger, I-G-E-R, care of Disney Studios, 500 South Buena Vista Street, that's B-U-E-N-A-V-I-S-T-A, Burbank, California, 91521.
That's the exact same individual that I wrote a letter to help.
For save the John Carter. And what happened sequel. With that?
I received a letter back saying, please don't ever write us ever again.
Really?
Yes.
That's insane. See, now I would just write more letters.
We flooded them.
And I would keep flooding them.
So, but it works, though. They know. I mean, we're on the radar.
Right. Exactly. So they know. They know.
The individuals that want to help save the Clone Wars are going to be
start writing letters. Known. We know that it's easy. It's really simple. It takes that 1 second out of your moment, out of your timeline to go send an email. You just da-da-da and you send, and then it's out of your frame and you're like, I've done the right thing. Or to go on Twitter and type in that tweet real quick.
But it doesn't, one
but that doesn't work.
Speak badly about individuals. I'm not.
I don't either.
I try not to be. But this particular individual whose name you just mentioned seems like he's making very poor choices in terms of the particular type of films and entertainment and shows that are really groovematic cool.
Yeah.
And he's killing them off.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely not as bad as the previous one that was in there. So
I'm not mentioning any of those names
either. I'll just leave it at that. But on the other side of the spectrum,
I wish I was a executive corporate head, because then I would make awesome decisions.
Well, like I said, on the other side of the spectrum, they're making 3 new Star Wars films and 2 spin-off movies with Han Solo and Boba Fett. So until I see those, I at least have to say, yay. But anyway, so if people want to save the Clone Wars, write letters. Don't send tweets. Don't send emails.
But you can send them to us.
And send us a letter, too.
Send. I want more pictures.
Yes, we need to have listeners. You're listening to the show.
From Spain and Mexico Argentina and Brazil and the lovely state of Texas.
With Mr. Bill Hicks.
Yes. Hello, this is Bill Hicks. What can I do you for?
If you're listening to the show, definitely take a picture of you listening to the show. Maybe like Wisp did, hold the phone up with you and you got the webpage going in the background. Post it up on Facebook. Put it on Twitter.
And we'll put it up.
Yeah, we'll retweet them. We'll share them. We'll put them up on our page. It's awesome.
All right, are we talking about movies?
Let's talk about
our
movies.
Little movie.
So the
that
movie
we watched?
The movie of the week. So for the people that are listening, Pat and I are doing little quasi movie reviews. We're not focusing on films that are out there or coming out right now, because we're pretty sure you've already heard that on 18 other million shows.
We're just kind of doing our own thing.
What we're doing here and you know, within our show is we're grabbing a movie once a week.
And just watching it.
Watching it and just telling you about it. Did we like it? Did we not like it? If we did like it, go out and watch it.
And you may have already seen it.
You may have seen it. And if so, hey, send us a tweet or post on Facebook.
Tell us what you thought.
Hey, I saw it. I thought it was great too. Or I didn't like it, even though you guys did. Let us know. We'd like to know. So we saw
Ghost Protocol.
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Now, I have to admit, I've seen the first Mission Impossible film. I think it was the first one with John Voight.
Yes.
That was the first one.
That was the first one.
I've seen that one.
I like that one.
I haven't seen any others since I watched Ghost Protocol.
I've seen them all.
And this is the last one.
Did you know this is directed by the same gentleman who did the movie The Incredibles?
Well, it showed.
I love The Incredibles.
It showed. So overall, 1 out of 10, what would you pick?
I'll go an 8.5.
I would say about 8.
8.5.
I'd say about 8. The story was good. It was a little bit predictable, the storyline. I knew that, you know, when he was talking in the car to the analyst guy and all that kind of stuff, I knew that there was something fishy going on there. And so I kind of had that one pegged, and I had the whole I knew about the backstory about his wife and, you know, her being killed and all that kind of stuff.
You did? How'd you know that?
And just from reading stuff online, like little tidbits here and there.
Spoilers.
Well, seeing things over the years. Like I said, I have never seen.
See, I didn't know that.
See, I haven't watched anything prior to, like I said, after the first one, I haven't watched any of them. So if there was any, you know, any information from those films coming over into the next one and the next one or a continuing storyline, I wasn't aware of it. But some things I've read over the last year or so, Yeah, I was like, oh, she's not dead.
That's why I try to stay away from certain.
Well, not only that, but like spoilage. I said, that's why there was just some predictability to the film.
Like in my.
I really like films like
refrigerator spoilage.
I just love. I just love it when like that one thing happens. There's that plot twist right at the end of a film, and you're like, oh my god,
Kaiser Soze
blows my mind. You know,
I knew who Kaiser Soze was.
Yeah,
I knew. I figured that one out.
Yeah.
But yeah. Going back to Ghost Protocol, I thought the action was pretty good.
The action was great. I really liked it. I really liked the action.
The characters, I thought, were they're pretty good.
I thought the glove things on the window was a little cheesy. You know, how do you get up a window? Oh, we've got these gloves that suddenly
they probably already have them.
They're electric, but they stick to glass. Okay, so
it's all quantum mechanics.
Well, that's one thing.
That would be cool. I could use that in a wetsuit, and I would stick to the surfboard.
Hey, there you go.
I like that practical application.
There you go. We'll have to tell Bob about that one.
So I wouldn't fall off.
Yeah.
And start a tidal wave.
In the feet of the wetsuit is the little bars.
Yeah, I'm going to stick right there.
Right? Now you just, you don't have to put your foot in the little, in the thing anymore. And wow, that's cool. That'd be cool.
I'm so brilliant.
So overall, I thought the film.
It's a good popcorn movie.
It kept me interested. It was a good action film. The storyline was okay. I think the most confusing thing about the whole film was the prisoner that he rescues in the beginning of the film.
Like, what's the deal with him?
And you go through this whole kind of like, okay, you know, he's escaping from a prison, and for whatever reason,
okay, whatever no prison, reason, you know what? No prison in Russia. I'm going to take a little niche here, though, or a little, you know. I'm going to say, there's no prison in Russia that's like that. Prison in Russia is rough.
You know, in fact, you know what? I think what we should watch to review next week, it's a documentary
on Russian
prisons.
One
of the first times people have ever been let into a Russian prison.
Oh, it's like listening to the Matt and Pat show.
Insane. Insane. It's horrible. Yes, exactly. Like listening to our show.
It is.
So the whole thing, you know, he goes through this whole
Gulag.
Process of he's going to be broken out of jail for whatever reason. And the people breaking him out are like, no, you got to go. And why is he going back now? He's got to rescue this guy. So at the very beginning of the film sets up this connection between him and this other prisoner of great importance.
And we don't really know why he's doing
and then you
that.
Have and then you go through the whole majority of the film, and then you get to maybe three quarters away, and then he's the cousin of a guy that he wants to be set up with on purpose so that something can happen.
A little convoluted. Like the Matt and Pat show.
Yeah, it was a little.
So wait, are we like an 8.5 in terms of how good we are?
No, we're about a 2.6.
I would go maybe 3.7.
3.7 for the Mad Pacho.
I'll go 3.7.
So, you know, if you haven't seen it and you want a good kind of action flick that will keep you interested.
It's a good popcorn flick.
Like you said, it's a good popcorn flick.
And he runs. Tom Cruise runs. That's his signature.
His signature run.
In all the films, he always runs. I wish I could run as fast as Tom Cruise.
Well, you know what? There's some movie magic going on there, first of all. And second of all,
no, he's fast.
That guy just runs goofy.
He's fast.
He looks like he's running like a frog.
That's because he's running fast.
Ribbit, 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 ribbit.
If you took a picture, a video of me running,
Tom Cruise is a frog.
It would be like there's a silverback gorilla trying to run. I would look really goofy running. Of course, I'd run like 5 feet and I'd be huffing and puffing. So
yeah. So 8.5 popcorn movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, liked it.
All right, we agree.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Popcorn.
All right, we're back.
Welcome back.
We got Easter this weekend.
And it's Good Friday.
Good Friday.
So hopefully everyone's having a Good Friday.
Good Friday.
Which?
Passover's tonight and for the Jewish.
Yes.
And
that was gnarly. Can you imagine, like, being out there and just all the firstborn are getting wiped out? Like, everything? I would be scared.
Run and hide.
I would be scared.
Run away.
And that's,
like
you know.
Like you do from this show.
Man. So it's Good Friday. And Sunday is a big day.
Of course.
It's Easter. And let's see. Oh, a little trivia here for Easter. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read this off a little bit. On Easter, 76% of individuals that eat chocolate bunnies eat the bunny chocolate ears first.
Yes, I can attest to that.
5% bite the feet first. So those may have a feet fetish.
They're eating chocolate
and a
feet.
Chocolate one at that.
Wow.
And here's one. 4% eat the tail first. Little boo-boo there. They remember the little boo-boo song?
They turn it around to specifically
and they eat
nibble off
the booty first.
The booty tail.
So wow. That's kind of a cool little trivia number.
Wow.
So next time you see someone enjoying their chocolate, that will tell you a whole lot about their preferences.
There you go. Wow.
What else do I have? What's a good one? Oh, hot cross buns.
Okay.
Hot cross buns.
Fill us in.
Well, the European monks would make them, right? They're cool little kind of a desserty little cool bun to eat.
Okay.
But the monks made them in a shape of kind of like this quasi little fat cross.
Cross, okay.
Right? For religious reasons.
Were they spicy?
No, they're just kind of good puffy little yummy, you know, you can get them. You can go. You're all coughing already.
Hot cross buns.
Yeah, you can buy them.
I'm just imagining.
I've seen them in the grocery store.
Really?
Yes. Wow. In fact,
I'm thinking like 14th, 15th century monks up in the mountains making.
Well, they did
spicy cross buns.
They did, and you can go to your probably local supermarket little bakery section.
Hot cross buns,
and you can buy. I bought some last year.
I'll have to buy some
away.
If they don't have egg, I'll eat some.
Well, there might be. There might be some egg.
Probably is.
But they used to make them.
I'm spared.
And they would give them out to those that were poor.
Well, that's a good. See, that I would do right? that.
So they would give out hot cross buns.
That's cool. That's cool.
I like that.
That's cool.
Let's see what else. And the egg, right? Why the egg is such a big symbol
for Easter and the bunny. Right?
It's a symbol of rebirth.
Oh, there you go. There you
laying
go.
An egg.
Wow.
The Matt Pat Show, we're laying an egg.
We're laying eggs.
So, you know, you can enjoy your chocolate and lay an egg.
That's there you go.
And then you have your hot cross bun and give it away to someone that's poor like me. And there you go. You have a blessed Easter.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening to the show.
Thank you so much.
We hope you have a good Good Friday, Passover.
A good Friday. I'm having
Easter,
a good Friday, yes.
And we'll be back next week.